ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 23, entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, and Text 23.
Vilokyanugatam sattvim
Vilokyanugatam sadvim
Prithum viravaram patim
Prithum viravaram patim
Tushtuvurvarada deva Tushtuvurvarada deva Deva-patnaya-sahasrasa Vilokyanugatam-sattvim Prithum-viravaram-patim Tushtur-varada-deva Deva-patnaya-sahasrasa Vilokyanugatam sattvim Prithum viravaram patim Tushtur varada deva Deva patnya sahasrasa
Okay, word to word translation. Vilokya, by observing. Who is observing here? Yeah. On the verse, who is observing? Anyone know?
Archi.
The demigods, yeah. Anugatam, dying after the husband. Sadvim, the chaste woman. So who is chaste woman here? Archi. And who is husband? King Prithu. Prithum of King Prithu. Veeravaram, the great warrior. Patim, husband. Tushtu, offered prayers. Varada, able to give benediction. Devai, by the demigods. Deva Patnya, the wives of the demigods. Sahasrasa, in thousands. Translation. After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife, Archi, the wife of the great king Prithu, many thousands of the wives of the demigods, along with their husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. So no purport. So here, what is a brave act that Archi performed? You know. So what had happened is like, this title of this chapter is Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home. So Maharaj Prithu was a king. You know? So he has actually flourished the earth. So if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, the second chapter, and third chapter, Krishna and his incarnation, Maharaj Prithu also mentioned in that chapter. So if you see, there are two kinds of expansion from the Lord. One is the empowerment from the Lord. One is direct empowerment and one is indirect empowerment or the vibhuti. So the direct empowerment or the, you know, the jiva which is empowered by the Supreme Lord. So Prithu is the direct empowerment of the Supreme Lord. He is Sakti Avesha Avatar. Shakti, you know, is like empowered. The Shakti is given to the Jiva to perform Herculean task, which is not usually performed by a normal living entity. So in this case, King Prithu was actually born from his father's body, King Vena, who was not very righteous, who was not very virtuous king, who was not following according to Vedic standard of how a Kshatriya to lead and perform activities and how to protect the citizens. So basically he is not following his authority. So then the Brahmanas asked to remove King Vena and place Prithu in his place. And then there was a conversation, there was an episode where he, you know, actually start flourishing, because the Mother Earth was not milking or not giving the right amount of grains. And so he is specifically incarnation where you now we see how the earth is so beautiful, beauty, scenic and flourishing and giving. That's because of King Prithu, because he is the one actually produced that kind of grains and, you know, wealth and opulence in the planet. So it's like we you know, at least we don't know how it came, but we should not be the cause of, you know, removing from the earth planet. Now this is a great struggle that all the resources are going down, because we are not treating Mother Earth the way we should treat her. Like so much of economic development and consumerism, and the need is so great that we start exploiting Mother Earth. So anyway, so then King Prithu was a specific incarnation to protect Mother Earth. So in this context, he was not only, you know, a great husband, but he was also a great father. In this regard, sometimes the earth is considered as his daughter. So Maharaj Prithu is going back home. He has done his duty. So Maharaj Prithu is also coming in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. So he is following his ancestor, great ancestors at Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj was ruling, and then he left in search of God. He went to the forest and then he met God, you know, the Lord face to face. Then he offered prayers. Then he got benediction. So similarly, following in the great footsteps of his dynasty and ancestors, Maharaj Prithu also left to the forest by renouncing his material, you know, kingdom and everything. And then following him, his wife, chaste lady, chaste woman, also left. So what had happened is, Maharaj Prithu has liberated by using his Ashtanga techniques, which he learned. Previously we had a chapter which has a conversation between Maharaj Prithu and the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras has given knowledge to Maharaj Prithu. So he used his, you know, his breathing technique, everything, and then he meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he left his body. So then wife was there, and then he was there, and then she understood he was motionless. He has already passed, he's left and gone. So then she quickly, you know, gathered whatever ceremony, whatever, you know, has to be done. So she lamented, but for a brief moment, and then started doing this thing. Imagine, you know, a lady in the forest all by herself, and, you know, would be the most difficult, you know, phase for any woman, you know, to give up, you know, that long years of understanding and attachment to the husband. It's a very difficult phase if you really see. But then, you know, because of her knowledge, we see in Bhagavad Gita 2.13 that a sober person is not bewildered by this change. You understand this, yeah? When you have a particular, you know, when you have this transcendental knowledge, when you have a knowledge that the soul is passing from one body to another, similarly, you know, like it's like a sleep phase where, you know, how we pass from youth to old age to death. Similarly, the soul passes from one body to another body, and this knowledge actually comes in handy. If you can experience yourself that before coming to Krishna consciousness and then after coming to Krishna consciousness, your perspective towards death has little bit, you know, enhanced or changed because you know according to Gita. So that is the first teachings in Gita actually. That is the main and the foundational aspect of spirituality, that we understand we are not this body. Actually, you know, this is one thing if we can able to realize by the end of our life, it's a great achievement in spiritual path, because everything is built upon this thing, you know, that if you think you are this body, then you are voluntarily signing up for more suffering and misery. Simple as that. So we know theoretically, we have this knowledge, but it takes time to realize it, that we are not this body, we are a spirit soul. Time and again it's been hammered in, you know, all the purport, or you know, even if you go to 10th canto, or even if you take the higher aspect of spirituality, this point has been given again and again, because it's very easy to forget and come to the bodily platform. So here the queen, then she performed, you know, she put all these woods and everything, and then she put the husband's body, and then she circumambulated, offered the prayers, you know, then the water, all the paraphernalia what is required, then lit the fire, and then this is something which is in modern age is very difficult to accept, that she entered the fire. So Prabhupada in the previous purport also, right, is not sometimes what happens, this becomes a ritualistic custom that they don't understand the spirit behind it, then becomes a problem. So what happened, the wife was not accepting to enter the fire, and the relatives throw the wife in the fire, you know. in Prabhupada writes in the purport, you know, like previous, that 1940s, 50s, like close to the independence, this system is called Sati system. This is something, you know, not by force. The wife, you know, understand this, you know, that the husband and wife, even though they are two, but they are one. If you really see, their body is two, but they are one, you know. That is what the marriage and all the samskaras are there, that they share everything. They share the karma, they share everything. So their body is two, but they are one. So when the person is left, so the feeling of separation, and they understand this, you know, this, I have to follow my husband, and of course the Vedic, you know. But then this is not followed now, because, you know, as we said, you know, Prabhupada writes in the previous text that even if a wife is not willing to enter the fire, then the relatives join and they, you know, put. So that is not accepted. So this is not practical in this age, day and age. But we understand the principle behind that they share everything. And then she entered the flame, and this was shocking for all the demigods actually. This was like, you know, for them, they have surrendered, they have come to see Prithu and his wife, and they have assembled thousands, here says, Sahasra, in thousands they have come. It's a great sight, because they have come. So we'll read the next verses, and then we'll see till the purport comes. So text number 24.
Kurvatya kusuma saram tasmin mandara sanuni nadatsva amara turyeshu grananti sma parasparam.
Translation: at that time the demigods were situated on the top of Mandara hill, and all their wives began to shower flowers on the funeral pyre and began to talk among themselves as follows. Text 25. Devya uchu
aho iyam vadur danya yachayam buhu bhujam patim sarvatmana patim veje agnesham shrir vaduriva.
Translation: the wives of the demigods said, all glories to Queen Archi. We can see that this queen of the great king Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Agnesha or Vishnu.
Purport: in this verse the words Agnesham Sri Vadur Iva indicate that Queen Archi served her husband just as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. We can observe that even in the history of this world, when Lord Krishna, the Supreme Vishnu, was ruling over Dwarka, Queen Rukmini, who was the chief of all queens, kings, Krishna's queen, used to serve Lord Krishna personally in spite of having many hundreds of maid servants to assist her. Similarly, the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets also serves Narayana personally, although there are many thousands of devotees prepared to serve the Lord. This practice is also followed by the wives of the demigods, and in days past, the wives of men also followed the same principle. In Vedic civilization, the husband and wife were not separated by such man-made laws as divorce. We should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in human society and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. The husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness and follow in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayana or Krishna Rukmini. In this way, peace and harmony can be possible within this world. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Sakshunamutam Tena Tasmai Sri Kuruve Namaga Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So here many aspects are there. First, this service to her husband with mind, speech and body. This is another, you know, aspect in Nectar of Instruction that urges are there. Urges to speech, urge to mind and urge to the body. These three things are very important. Sometimes we also do service to the Supreme Personality of God, a devotional service. We also need to keep these three very important. So we say, you know, like our sannyasis carry this danda, tridandi. Tridandi is what? Mind, words and speech. Words, mind and body. And they have this fourth also, that is a spirit, soul. So anyway, so this is very important because sometimes body can be physically there, but our mind is somewhere else. We can realize while chanting, while doing some service, when any mechanical we do, we become expert in it. So we are competent, without conscious we are competent, we just do it. So, but then we don't have our mind in what we are doing. Especially when it comes to chanting, we realize that we do it so mechanical that we chant mantra, but our mind is somewhere else. Or sometimes we speak. So Prabhupada writes actually in one of these purport. The section where, talks about, in Bhagavad Gita, it talks about Mithyachar, the pretenders. In that era, it's sometimes the sannyasis, they speak big philosophy. They speak big philosophy, big knowledge. We can see so many people who are Mayavadi sannyasis and sannyasis so-called, they speak the philosophy. But the effect of the knowledge is being captured by the Maya. So they can speak philosophy, they can speak, but then the effect of that knowledge is not applied in their life. That is very important. So that's why we see there are so many Bhagavad Gita, but we recommend, Bhagavad Gita as it is, because there is a reason behind it. The person who is speaking, who is explaining, Srila Prabhupada, has also lived the way of life. It's not that just philosophy. It is the realization, it is the practical application of that knowledge, and he has given by his own example. So that's why there is a potency in what we read. So this is very, very applicable in Krishna consciousness. Because the philosophy is there, but then to the effect of the knowledge, which is very important, which we apply in our life. So this mind, body and speech, we serve the Supreme Lord. So here we see that the example of Krishna and Rukmini, Lakshmi and Narayan is given. So this is a, of course, this is a high standard of example that one, you know, move. So if you see the Varnashram, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So if you see the Brahmachari is a time where one is learned to help, you know, how to control senses. This is very basic of Brahmacharya, that one learns how to have a strict sadhana and study the scriptures and serve under a guru and very menial lifestyle. So then one is moved to Grahastha. So in Grahastha ashram, one has license to have some regulated sense gratification. So he get to marry and then he produce Krishna conscious children. So if you see, then, you know, there are, if you really see, the system of this material nature is that it does not spare anyone. We have to understand this, that no one is spared by the material energy. This material energy is so powerful that it actually, you know, gives a lot of tantrums and miseries to every individual living entity who is in this cycle. So we know that living entities get suffering from his own mind and body. That is, you know, adhyatmic. Then there are other living entities who actually give problems. Then the natural calamities, problem from demigods. So each ashram has his own purification. So for example, if someone in Brahmacharya, so mostly the problem is not external. You know, there won't be, you know, much difficulty from other living entities. It could be some problem from demigods. But more is from internal. Because one may, you know, have these questions. Oh, I'm missing something out. Or maybe I may not be very social. I'm missing the social element of my life. Or I didn't have some intimate relationship, you know. I couldn't able to develop this. So this Maya is actually doesn't give up on anyone. Yeah. We should understand this very clearly. That Maya is not going to give up on you just because you are performing bhakti or just because you are high in your Krishna conscious spirit. It's a moment to moment fight and battle with Maya. We should understand this. And so then it gives this kind of problem. Then when one is in Grahastha ashram, that time, you know, it may, you know, okay, one may have this problem of, you know, mind may not be there, but then there is problem from other living entities. There is so many relations you have to maintain. There is in-laws, your parents and your wife, your relatives, your society, your status. So many things are there. It's not easy. So, you know, it's not that the grass is green on the other side. The Brahmachari may think, oh, the Grahastha is living happily and so see how wonderfully, you know, I should also be, no, not like that. They are also struggling and they are also performing Krishna consciousness. And the Grahastha also not thinking, you know, Brahmacharis, you know, they are, you know, what is they doing? They are doing nothing. They don't have anything to do. Are they just, you know, staying in the temple, so nice life. No, it's not like that, because every individual have to go through this, you know, struggle and, you know, tolerant. But apart from this, the greatest enemy, so I was reading Srila Prabhupada's lecture actually yesterday. This was in the section 5th chapter Bhagavad Gita. So he says, who the mother of miseries? Who is the mother of misery? So we think, you know, adhyatmic, you know, all this problem is there. So Prabhupada says, the mother of misery is the senses. So he's into the context of that verse, A Samsha. What is that verse? Anyone know? Swarshas to, translation. You don't know, okay. Simple is that, purport, I also don't know. Purport Prabhupada has given, you can read. So basically is that an intelligent person avoid the contact of the senses and the sense objects. Very simple. So in that one line I read, but I can't verbatim the same line, but that line which I read which stuck is that the sensuality and the spirituality does not go hand in hand. One should understand. Sensuality and spirituality does not go. Even in the fifth canto, Rishabhdev is giving advice to the sons that this human form of life, is very rare. The thing that we think that this material sense pleasure is only applicable or is only available for this human body, but that is not true. Any living entity, even cats and dogs and all, they are also available this material sense gratification. We should not be in a utopian world thinking that I am having a greatest pleasure with this body. Because one should understand this body is given for a particular purpose, for a spiritual purpose. It's not for a sensual purpose. And this body, this austerity one going through, that is the easy step for spirituality. One voluntarily undergoing some austerity means what? Austerity means what? Some voluntarily undergoing some tolerance, is undergoing some kind of tapasya. Tapasya. Why? So that he can achieve the greatest bliss. And of course, the tapasya which, usually mentioned, we are not talking about the yogic tapasya, we are not mentioning about the, jnani tapasya, we are not, educating one how to renounce and go to the forest. That is not the tapasya we are talking about. In Kali Yuga, the tapasya is that chanting minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna and following four regulative principles. That's all. If you really see, it all boils down to this. The positive aspect is that you chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles strictly. That itself is the biggest tapasya in Kali Yuga. We don't have to add extra tapasya that, you dip in the cold winter in the water till your neck, or you put fire around you in the hot summer. No, that is not the tapasya. The tapasya what we are talking is that you chant Hare Krishna, we can able to, mold your life in such a way that we can able to chant Hare Krishna every day and follow four regulative principles. So that's what we want to aim at. So when we do that is the greatest tapasya, that is the greatest austerity. And that we follow so that we get this human life. So again, the mother of all misery is because senses. The senses are so, it's like the any one sense, if it's not controlled, that will carry the whole thing. So this sense gratification, it has to be avoided. This is, but it looks like very natural. Of course, as long as one has body, there are going to be desire. As long as there is desire, there is going to be sense gratification. One should understand. But then, one should regulate this sense gratification. One should regulate this sense gratification. That leads a lot of training. So that's why, so when one is in Brahmacharya Ashram, the training helps him, because when he moves to Grihastha Ashram, then everything is available. So in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you read, that every ashram has to sacrifice something to achieve the higher goal. For a Brahmachari, he has to sacrifice the material sound. He cannot listen to material sounds and songs and everything. Hearing, then he has to hear and chant only Hare Krishna or the glories of Krishna. Then for the Grihastha, he has to sacrifice the senses in the object of senses. He has to restrict. So then Prabhupada gives that, household Brahmachari. Because, it's very tough if you really see that your object of senses is available at your fingertips and free will. You are working, you have material opulence. With material opulence, you can get sense enjoyment, and your everything is here. Your wife is there, your money is there, your house is there, everything is there. But then, what makes a difference? Because that is what makes a difference. In the same context, Prabhupada gives a definition of a happiness. What is the definition of a devotee happiness?
A devotee means he is not happy when he gets a material opulence, a sense enjoyment, everything. When a devotee is happy, when he knows that these things and everything belongs to Krishna, and then when he becomes happy, when he uses the thing in the service of Krishna. That is what makes a devotee happy. Because everything belongs to Krishna. If you really have this principle in center, then you don't have this tendency of enjoying for your one's own. Everything, whatever you see, whatever you prevail, whatever you come across, all matter, every matter, everything is, you know, belongs to Krishna. So then we have to use in the service of Krishna. When we see that things are used in the service of Krishna, then he is happy. So example, Srila Prabhupada, if you see that, you know, someone give offering money or someone offering money, we are not, you know, artificially renouncing. There is nothing to renounce actually. If you own something, then you can renounce. You came empty-handed and we are going empty-handed. That thing is going to be us. So what is the question of renounce? Everything belongs to Krishna. So we use, and then when we see, we build beautiful temple, we offer beautiful garland, we offer beautiful bhoga, big festival, big decoration. You know, then that naturally makes a devotee very happy, isn't it? That we, you know, we use everything in Krishna service and we see that Krishna is pleased. That is where, you know, we are also pleased. So then, you know, same in that connection. So then, you know, Krishna says, you know, my divine energy is very difficult to overcome. The divine energy. So if you see, Krishna explains 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, that there are two kinds of energy. One is superior and one is inferior. Whereas inferior is the external energy, right? And the superior is the living entity, which is spiritual in nature. So, but then Krishna says divine energy. How come an inferior can be divine? How the external energy, Maya, can be divine? So in this context, Prabhupada writes, that is divine because it's acting under the will of Krishna. It's something connected. So what is spiritualized? You know, we make our body spiritualized, we make things spiritualized, because the moment the matter is connected to Krishna, then that becomes spiritual item. So it's a matter of connection to Krishna, then it becomes. So similarly, this divine energy of mind, because it is connected, it is not acting independent of Krishna. It is acting under the will of Krishna, so then it becomes a divine energy. So then, you know, in Grahastha Ashram, we see. So here, if you see an example, that the wife, Archie, and other Rukmini, or, you know, mother Lakshmi, everyone, you know, serving their husband. So if someone stresses on this point that, you know, a wife has to serve his husband, you know, we take it very, like hard on this. But then one should understand the husband also has to have that qualification and deserving that kind of service. This is as important as how we stress that a wife should be subservient to an husband. A wife has to be subservient to husband, given that the husband is performing the spirituality on a higher and a high caliber. Like the example of Krishna, Narayan, or Maharaj Prithu. Then one can, you know, expect that kind of service from the wife, you know. So then, if you see in scriptures, there is a lot of example of couples. All spectrum is given. So if you see in the third canto, there is an example of Kardama and Devahuti. Exemplary. How Kardama and Devahuti has led their life. Kardama was, you know, a great sage. Imagine Vishnu has come to him to request. Vishnu has come and saw him. And the great, you know, Swayambhu Manu, who is himself an incarnation in progeniation, he has come to offer his daughter. But he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have material. He doesn't even have a house. Or he doesn't even have a cloth or something. He is a sage. He is just in the forest. But this is, you know, Devahuti was a queen. You know, queen means it's not an ordinary queen. So beautiful and so opulent queen. Imagine that seeing her beauty, the demigods were flying in the plane, and one demigod, one Gandharva, by seeing her beauty, fall down from the plane. Such a beauty, Devahuti. And then he has come to give the hand of Devahuti to this sage. Because why? Because of that spiritual qualification, that spiritual character he had.
which is the greatest wealth one cannot get by material, you know, I must say. So we see that example of high. And then, you know, it's interesting that we see the example of, you know, a devotee and a wife who is not following his husband. Any example you see? Both are devotee, but a devotee husband, but the wife is not following the husband, end up in a problem. So,
Ravana parents.
Bhagavatam. So there was, you know, you can see in the section of, I think this chapter, fourth, when is that Daksha and Sati, which is fourth canto? Fourth canto, you see. Husband was Shiva, Lord Shiva. But Sati did not listen to the words of Lord Shiva. Then what happened? She ended up in fire. Was a you know, a great episode actually. She was thinking that she's her only father. What is the point of invitation? I'll just go. But then, you know, Shiva advised, you know, you can go to friends' place or relatives without invitation on the condition that they are very favorable towards you. If they are very favorable, then you can go without invitation. But if they are not favorable, then one should not go without invitation. But she didn't listen. What happened? She went and she saw so much humiliation that he didn't even invite her. She saw, you know, and not only that, you know, she understood how great her husband is. Then she left her body. The other way, you know, if you see that both are devotees, you know, so-called devotees, husband is there, but husband didn't follow. Then wife left the husband. So we can see in 10th canto, this is an example of Brahman Patnis. They were serving their husband so nicely. They were, you know, in fact, helping the husband to make yajna. But then, when the Supreme Lord comes, the husband, you know, he didn't understand the essence of spirituality. What is the essence of all Vedas? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the essence of all Vedas, essence of everything, that one surrendered to Krishna. That if you read all the Vedas, and if one is not, you know, a Brahmana, so-called Brahmana, doing all the puja, all the Vedas, all the rituals, and if he is not surrendered to Krishna, then he lost the point. But one is born in a family of a Chandala or a Malecha, or don't even have any Brahmanical qualification qualities, but if he surrendered to Krishna, he is more greater actually. Because he understood the essence of all Vedic scriptures. So that is the point actually. But then when Krishna asks for food, the Brahmanas are so, you know, focused on their own Vedic rituals and samskaras and this. And they couldn't able to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And the wife, they rejected their husband. Rejected their husband and surrendered to, went to Krishna to serve him. And we also see in the third canto, you know, the dealing between, you know, Kashyapa and Aditi. Aditi also is there, Diti also is there. So how, you know, that the senses, the pulling of sense gratification for union at the wrong time, even in advice of Kashyapa, he couldn't able to, you know, tolerate. We see the consequences, the great demons, you know, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the whole episode started because of this, you know, one act. So, you know, we see different examples of, you know, grahasthas and family in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the example of Yayati, you know, then we have next episode will come, you know, Puranjana and Narada Muni. This is all, you know, this is not something which we, you know, see as some different. We have to see in our life as well, because these are examples. We see not only great devotees and the consequences and how they have taken shelter of Krishna at the time of difficulties. Yes, one will go through all this difficulty. Because, you know, they are great, they are devotees, they have become great devotees because by their action
at the time of difficulty, how they take shelter of Krishna. That's the act, they become great devotees. He is not that great devotees, because they become great because of certain activities. So similarly, when we take shelter of Krishna at the time of adversities and miseries and difficulties, then, you know, we get the mercy of Krishna. So in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes actually that one, if you say, for example, the goal of life or the goal of Krishna consciousness is that one has to remember Krishna at the time of death. This is a teaching of Bhagavad Gita, and this we also preach, that one mold our life, that one think of Krishna at the time of death. Even, you know, the rules and regulations, everything put into one, that always remember Krishna and one should not forget Krishna. This is the golden rule. Yeah. So the time of death, for time of death, we prepare ourselves. If a death is an examination, we prepare ourselves for the whole life so that we can remember Krishna. But then the Prabhupada writes in the introduction that if one cannot able to remember Krishna at the adversities and the problem when it comes while we are living, what is the guarantee that one remember Krishna at the time of death? That one cannot remember Krishna when he is getting some small problems and tiny, you know, here and there tweaks. Not able to remember Krishna, the God, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then how is the guarantee that the greatest problem, the biggest difficulty that one leaving his body, that he can remember Krishna? So that is, you know, obviously, you know, we see that. So we cultivate and, you know, take this, that we remember Krishna at every stages in our life, so that we can able to prepare when the time come. So that is the thing. So here we see that each ashram, irrespective of their, you know, ashram, that material nature is going to give problem. But then how we going to tolerate? So in that aspect, there is two things. So one, you know, understand that is, you know, this place is not good and I'm getting a lot of problems and difficulty. Yes, that is good. But then the positive thing is one has to develop higher taste. So in the same that same verse, 5th chapter Bhagavad Gita. So in the Sarandam to me, there is there is urgent, you know, the urgency. What is the urgency? What is the urgency in Krishna consciousness? This is the urgency in Krishna consciousness. Urgency means like act now. The urgency is one has to develop higher taste. This is the urgent requirement for every devotee in Krishna consciousness. That one has to develop higher taste. No matter what, one has to develop higher taste. So how do you develop higher taste? That you hear, you chant about Krishna, you associate with devotees, you sing in the kirtan, you participate in the festival. Some or other we have to develop. This is no, because by developing the higher taste, one can tolerate the difficulty given by material nature. Otherwise it's very difficult. So there is intellectual conviction that this is not the best place and a lot of suffering. But then there is an emotional satisfaction that one is received by getting the higher taste. So this combination will make them to go long run in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's just going to be very difficult. If one cannot have the transcendental experience or the higher taste, then just by negating and experiencing this problem, we'll just become like a jnanis. Oh, this, you know, we're going to complain about this material world. This is full of suffering. And I'm not going to be here. Okay, fine. If you're not going to be here, where are you going to go? So here you see that these demigods all are watching and they're seeing the fire, and then one demigod, you know, one wife of the demigod is saying, look up. You know, so then they saw there's an aeroplane, Vaikuntha plane, where Prithu Maharaj is going, and the back is Archi. And they're wondering, man, we are devatas, we are demigods, and these people are coming from below and they're going up. How is it possible? The Urdhva, they're going upward. And they, you know, that's what, you know, going back home, this chapter says, and they're going up, they're worried. You know, we thought, you know, they're thinking, I am, you know, great. Because these are, you know, like, you know, how we see the lower animals, like they see like us, you know, these people are suffering, you know, and we are enjoying life. And then after their fire is coming, and then their planes are going. And they are, you know, wondering, come on, what is happening? So devotee, because, you know, the higher taste and tolerate this, you know, sparsha, Again, you know, that touch. And you know, matra sparshastu kaunteya. You know, Arjuna again, Krishna says that you just tolerate this, you know. Just don't give up. You know, Maya will not give up on you and you don't give up on Krishna. Just tolerate and develop higher taste and the end is going back home, back to God. So I'll just stop here and see if anyone has any correction or comments, questions or addition. Yes?
Why do demigods become satisfied when they see someone like going in the fire?
So they were satisfied by the way how she actually offered herself fully to the service of husband. So that's inspiring for them. So it's like an example they see in front of their eyes that how she can give up their body, mind and word in the service of husband, because husband is a great person again. He's a Prithu. He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then they got inspiration. Oh, we also have to serve our husband like that. Because our husband also serving Krishna. So that's why they are satisfied. Yeah.
You mentioned about you know, our devotees should develop the higher taste.
Yeah.
And that will help them tolerate the difficulties.
Yes, exactly.
Now, higher taste is something that comes over the time, but difficulties are already there.
Yeah.
Then how do we deal with them now?
Hmm, yeah.
Don't have so much of a higher taste.
So, your question, I repeat online also. That, you know, higher taste comes by time, but difficulty is already there. Is right? And how?
And so, when now we don't have the higher taste,
yeah.
How do we tolerate the difficulties?
So now we don't have the higher taste, but how we can tolerate the difficulties? Okay, fine. So, so we know this, that happiness and distress and difficulty is going to come on his own accord without doing anything. Even if you work hard and... But then to develop the higher taste, we need to do something. We need to do our endeavor. So how we develop the higher taste, you know. So we have to chant and hear about Krishna. So we need to take, that is our tapasya, that is our austerity. That higher taste, yes, of course, you know. It's like you can have, you know, quote this verse that tattenu kampam, you know, sumikshamano. That in that also, that one is, you know, tolerating, you know, everything. But I don't have that. If you have that verse, can you read the translation of that verse? I think 10, 14, 8.
My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful home.
Hmm. So, you know, basically one is going through the difficulty and, you know, suffering, but still he is continuing the service to the Supreme Lord. With his body, mind and words. Is it? So, you know, he is actually, it is, you know, it's like, you know, it actually increases one devotion. But because how? Because he know that Krishna is in control. Krishna is giving this. Krishna is in control. And then, you know, he will take care of me. This is, you know, he is undergoing and more devotion comes. Because actually, I have to get more suffering. In actual reality, the suffering has to be double the time. But because of Krishna's mercy, I'm getting little bit. So Krishna, how great you are. So you are like, you know, you are turning the misery into the other court. And then you are going deep with your devotion. So that way, you are, you know, expecting, actually I should not receive any mercy. Even higher taste, when higher taste come also, you tell like this. Even higher taste when coming, actually I am not eligible to receive this kind of mercy, Krishna. I am not eligible. But I don't know why you are giving. You know, this is a kind of prayers by the devotees. But then, for our side, we don't want to work hard for misery. You know, enough misery is there in our life.
enough is coming and it will more come. But what we are doing, we are not, you know, worrying about the misery. Rather, we are trying to go closer to Krishna. As that's why in Saranda to me, that Prabhupada, Prabhu writing, this is urgent. You know, this is, you have to understand the urgency of Krishna consciousness, that you develop this higher taste, that you go closer, work hard to go closer to Krishna. Then you are not affected by this misery. Misery is common, but suffering is optional. You don't have to, you know, go through. You understand this is external, you know. It's going to come, you know, this after another thing is going to come. But then me, I want to go closer to Krishna. So then what happened? Over a period, you don't have to, you know, really wait for, of course, this in this verse it says causeless mercy. You don't have to do anything to get that. But still, you know, you know, tolerating. But at least, you know, we should do some, you know, develop, we should do something that to hear and chant about Krishna, associate with devotees, mean, you know, do some devotion service. Then Krishna, you know, definitely will reciprocate. It's simple, you know, if you're sincerely doing, then Krishna will reciprocate. Isn't it? Yes. Mahatma Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
One good example in Bhagavatam, 10 22 chapters, Shukdev. Shukdev was a devotee,
yeah.
So pious that Krishna had to come from Dwarka to meet him and give him mercy. Krishna is so benevolent, Bhaktivatsal, that he is coming all the way from Dwarka to meet him in Mithila. So why he didn't go to Krishna? Because he had a vow that he would serve his duties. And he was serving his duties so well.
So that's why. Reciprocation.
Yes, sir. Was so great. So if we have a strong faith in Krishna, then Krishna will be perfect.
Yeah, Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Prabhu, I just wanted some clarification. You mentioned Prabhu Maharaj is mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. What is that? In that, you know, the Krishna and his incarnation, third chapter, I think. Third chapter, first canto. I think he's the eighth person, I think. Eighth or ninth. If you have, you can check it out.
Thank you. And another thing is, you were mentioning about Vibhuti and could
you explain? Same purport. Prabhupada writes, there are two kinds of empowerment. One is direct and one is indirect. So direct, all the Sakti Avesh Avatar comes. Indirect, 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. 7th and I think Vibhuti. Vibhuti Yoga, which chapter? I think 10th chapter. 11th. Opulence of the Absolute. 10th chapter. Vibhuti Yoga. So that is indirect. Like, you know, he says, among the trees, I am the banyan tree. So that all empowerment, indirect empowerment of the Supreme Lord on the Jivas. Among the aquatics, I am shark. Yes, Prabhu. Any bouncer?
We are talking about the higher taste.
Yeah.
What kind of taste is it? It's sweet, sour, salty, spicy.
Yeah. We are talking.
So, what kind of higher taste is it? Is it different for different devotees?
This is very subjective. This taste is very subjective and it is not material. So, you cannot explain in gross. This is a very subtle taste that one experiences in Krishna consciousness, which cannot be explained in words. Like, for example, if you are in Kirtan and if you are in ecstasy, can you put in words? No. It's an individual connection of the Jiva towards the Supreme Lord, which is unique, which only the Jiva can experience. So that is the taste we are explaining here, which cannot be explained. So that's why it's inconceivable. Of course, if you have a sweet preparation and savory preparation, still you can experience that. If you have a alva or something, Mahaprasad, the alva which comes, you know, If you add that, oh, it's a, like in crosses, many people say, you know, oh, we have the recipe book, we have that book, but still your taste is different, you know.
Yes, always different.
Always different. They say, oh, what did you do? What did you put? We say, we they cannot understand if you say them, oh, we actually, you know, put our love in the alga. Roasted, you know, roasted love and, you know, butter prema, like that. If we tell them and offered with love and devotion to Krishna, Krishna ate and he left his saliva in that. If you tell them, you know, and they will be like, you know, what, you know. So we say, you know, oh, this is, you know, sanctified, you know, this is, we just recipe, you follow the recipe like that. So that is the taste we are explaining.
Well, you can say sweet taste.
Sweet.
The taste of your Krishna.
Sweet.
That is sweet.
That's right. Sweet. Okay. Yes, Guru.
If the essence of all the Vedas or all knowledge that you're getting is to develop the ability to surrender unto Krishna, then what is the point of other austerity or even Agyat Sukriti or something like that? What is the point?
See, other austerity, and it was explained in this also that Prithu Maharaj, you know, this austerity, like, you know, about the breathing, you know, Prithu Maharaj does the breathing and pranayam like that. So these are techniques used for mind control, mind and sense control. Basically, it boils down to that, you know, like pranayam, yoga, these, that, you know, asanas, is all mentioned so that your body, mind, everything is controlled. But we have a simple technique to do mind control. We know that. Chanting Hare Krishna, our mind is controlled. Then, but then, you know, that is not the end and goal. That is a way. Then they come to Krishna, but if they are stuck in that level, then it's a problem. So it's like the yoga ladder. You know, if you see different process and everything is there. So then, you know, one comes in different path, then he progress. Then other comes in different path, progress. It has to come to bhakti. Even to achieve the whatever result what they want in that path, they still need some bhakti to achieve the result. So, after, you know, everything, yeah, surrender to Krishna is the ultimate. You know, Krishna says this, sarva dharman paritejya, you surrender unto me, give up all these religious activities and everything. But then, Krishna is not so, you know, a narrow mind person that, you know, only this. So, what happened is like, you know, it's like kind of, okay, wherever you are, you can start, come in the process, get into the ladder and then eventually come to me. Okay, fine, you want to do karma yoga, you do your activities, but give the result to me. When you jnana, okay, speculate, understand the knowledge and come to that, you know, even the Brahman is only the effulgence coming from me. So it's like that. So different path is there, but then eventually one has to come to the realization of Bhagavan, that is Krishna. So, but Bhakti Yoga is very easy. One don't have to go through that. Wherever he stand, you know, straight away come to the highest rung of the yoga ladder. So Bhakti Yoga is like the example of the lift. One don't have to go through the ladder, you know, stairs. Just catch a lift and go to the last floor. That's it. Simple.
Which four practices were you mentioning? Like with chanting?
Oh, the four regulative principles. Oh, the four regulative principles is that no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. Okay. So that's helps one to be in goodness and helps one to practice spirituality. Okay, we'll stop here. And Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.